Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. KZ got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man. We are trying to get over that L from last night. And I don't know if we ever will. It was ugly. It was historic. But we've been talking a lot about it today with you guys. And we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later on. And we're talking about the Braves. If you're going, huh? Falcons will play on Sunday, and we'll get into the Falcon Report here in just a bit. But, Mike, if you're just joining the show today and you're getting in the car, and maybe you've been working all day and you're like, I'm not listening to anybody. I don't want to talk about it.
Because remember after the Super Bowl, we had a lot of people that just could not listen because it was just too – it just tore their guts out to hear us talking about the 28-3 collapse.
It hurt to talk about it, but we had to because this is how we work through things. We have to work through things.
Like Dr. Phil, cathartically, we're going to get it together, Carl. I know that you know, we all know we're all hurting right now.
And we all are hurting. The question is, why does this continue to happen to us, right? We're going to answer that for you coming up at 5:20. So stay tuned for that. But basically, Mike, yesterday's debacle, you can point the finger at many things. But we have today pointed out the fact that our 3, 4, and 5 hitters, guys, were absent. And it hurts because we love Freddie, but we got to call it what it is. And Freddie was 4-for-20 in this series and hit 200 and just did not do enough with runners in scoring position. He owned it after the game, if you missed it last night, because many of you went away from the game and you didn't want to see anything. But Freddie said as much. But that doesn't take away or change things when we have one of the best lineups in the league, and especially after the seventh inning, and we get to this point in a series that matters, that could get us to the NLCS, and, Mike, we can't hit.
Yeah, so, again, and I put it all on Freddie, but look, the big guy's got to step up in the big moments, and even an error in the field. So it extended, unfortunately, to what could have been a double play ball, and we'll talk more about it coming up. Markakis came back from the injury, and he was good, and then he was not good. And Donaldson was cooling off big time. You can see the trends in September. But we like what we had with Folty. Folty didn't have it. I'm not questioning anybody's mental toughness. Cardinals came in aggressive, put bat on ball, and made things happen. And the Braves couldn't, and it was shock and awe. And everybody was dumbfounded. Players talked about it. So the worst thing about this is Brian McCann's got to go out. He retires, announces his retirement after 15 years. Said he'd been thinking about it for a month and a half. But to go out like this, man, it's most humiliating defeat in Atlanta Braves history.
It is. And, again, I brought this up, 135 years of Major League Baseball playoffs. What you saw yesterday has never happened. Think about that. 100-plus years, no one has come out in the first inning of a playoff game like that and scores 10 runs, and the thing is over. It was 13-1 was the final score. But you knew when they got up 6 or 7 that it was going to be a long afternoon.
Yeah, and the only chance to maybe plate some runners and maybe feel that we're still in this, we can chip away. You had guys on first and second, and you couldn't get anything in the bottom of the first. Freed was awful too, and I wanted Max Freed starting in this series. So we'll get into it. Everybody wants to point the fingers at Snicker, but I think there's enough blame to go around equally. The 3, 4, 5, the heart of the lineup. Yeah, and one guy you can't blame is Ronald Acuña. Dude hit .444 for the freaking series.
He's a man. I mean, we had 16 walks in this series. He had 4 of them. He lived on base, in my opinion. I mean, Acuña, Swanson, and Albies had 20 of the 38 hits. So those guys, again, you're trying to find and try to say, well, what went wrong? We will get into this, but I think there were 2 games that you can point the finger at, and you can pick and choose which game you want to blame as the reason why we lost. Yesterday was an aberration. That's never happened. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. It is Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, great deal because, again, as we said yesterday, you turn to food for solace. And right now you can get a large 2-topping pizza, $5.99, limited time offer, but it's a great deal. Get more than one, why don't you? It's 2, again, 2-topping, large pizza, $5.99 from Domino's at Domino's.com.
So they are in Arizona trying to do what Cliff Kingsbury did at Texas Tech. Now, the deal is you've got better athletes. You've got better skill position players. And he thinks he's got the quarterback in Kyler Murray to do it. but they are just now installing this thing. This is the first year of it. I think Kyler Murray is going to look a lot better in year three, Mike, than he does right now, but he's still being very, very productive. And with that said, you know, you look at how impressive he has been. Kyler Murray, in their first victory, was a 26-23 win over the Bengals last Sunday. He rushed 10 times, so he's not afraid to tuck it. We talked about his stature. He's not a big guy, but he's not afraid to tuck it and run. So Falcons, just like Deshaun Watson, he's not afraid to pull it and get 15, 20 yards and try to get out of bounds. So he had 10 carries last week for 93 yards, but he also threw for 253, Mike.
And we saw it last year when we saw the Cardinals with Josh Rosen at quarterback. It's not a very good offensive line, and they've done a little bit to help it, but still – he's been hit a lot. Now, how much of that is him not knowing when to get rid of the football or running around? Like, remember Mike Vick would sometimes run into sacks, Carl, back in the day?
Yep.
But he's been on the deck 21 times. We mentioned it yesterday. The Lions got to him 5 times. Carolina has sacked him 8 times. So he's averaging 4.5 sacks a game. So let's hope that if Dan Quinn somehow reverts back to the old defense that Carl was saying he should yesterday, where Vick's got his hand in the dirt coming off the edge, or more Adrian Claiborne, that hopefully the Falcons can contain him. Because, as we said, David Johnson might not play with a back injury. Christian Kirk isn't 100% a wide receiver. Larry Fitz is ready to roll. But they certainly want to move him around away from our pass rush, get the ball in the air.
Yeah, I just don't think where we are right now. I mean, to me, for Dan Quinn, and adjustment-wise, we cannot just allow Kyler Murray to see a zone and sit back and say, all right, he's not good enough to beat us. We're just not in that position. You want to pressure this kid and make sure that he's under duress the entire game, and hopefully he throws some mistakes, and Mike, you know, you get some turnovers. But I don't think we can just sit back. And, you know, Deshaun Watson broke down our defense, and the translation, I was having this conversation with a friend. You know, everybody heard that, and he had a lot of football lingo in there, but basically he said, listen, the Falcons, we knew when they were going to blitz when they went man, which meant I had one-on-one situations outside, which is why you saw Will Fuller kill the Falcons. I mean, that's what Deshaun Watson was saying. When they went zone, they didn't give up some things that we wanted, and we took what they gave us.
But the problem we've got now, guys, is because of the injuries, and this is where you really miss Keanu Neal, and you need Isaiah Oliver to please get the NFL game and figure it out now. You know, Sherrod Neesman, we talked about Sheffield still learning on the job as a rookie, Carl. And then you throw in, you know, all the other guys, you know, Bleedy Ray Wilson, he's banged up. So now you're relying on practice squad guys and guys you picked off of other practice squads. That's a problem with your depth in your secondary right now.
Yeah, speaking of that, I just saw a picture from D. Led talking about that and, you know, taking some photos out there about guys who are at practice. And listen, I don't know if that's the answer, Mike. Do you trust Sheffield? Do you trust any of these other guys?
I think, you know, Sheffield's a guy that, you know, again, you're gonna take your lumps with all these guys. You know, I mean, that we knew going in that we were going to have, without Alford as drive you crazy as Alford would, Carl, at times, that Isaiah Oliver is going to struggle. I don't know. Sheffield's going to have to grow up. I wish, you know what I do? I wish we had 3 KZs out there because he's a ball hawk and the guy makes plays.
KZ is in a non-contact jersey today. So with that said, we'll see, you know, again, the concussion thing, we'll see where that goes.
But you feel me on this? We're getting thin in the secondary that looked like a Chinese fire drill last week in Houston.
Did you make a deal?
Let me check that. A fire drill may or may not be of Asian descent. Okay. Gotta be politically correct.
All right. I mean, we had the general manager on a couple of weeks ago. He said, obviously, they're always open to things. I just don't see him pulling the trigger on a deal. They're going to try to pick up a free agent scrap if they can.
You know, you and I kicked this around earlier in the show. It's just the ask is too rich. If you had had, you know, if we had bankroll, you know, Carl, if we had a bunch of extra picks, the way like New England always seems to have, or, you know, sometimes we saw Cleveland try to do that the last couple of years. If you had a little more draft equity where you could maybe give up a first-round pick and not feel so bad about it, but, I mean, you need a Jalen Ramsey. You need a shutdown corner to come in and help fix this. Shad Khan has already said that he thinks, after a one-on-one conversation earlier in the week, he thinks Ramsey's going to dress for the Jaguars.
All right, man.
They got the Saints, by the way.
It is our Falcon Report, guys. Again, always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Hey, man, a large 2-topping pizza for $5.99. Good 7 days a week. Go to Domino's.com.
All right, more on the Falcons, and we'll give you our keys to victory tomorrow. It's funny. Funny tweet. He says, Dukes, I think Kyler Murray's going to look a lot better Sunday than he's had so far. And my comment about Kyler Murray looking better 2 years from now than he does right now. Listen, we've made a lot of guys look good. I mean, Kirk Cousins beat us throwing the ball 10 times. Right.
Well, Jacoby Brissett's looked good against everybody, but we made him look really good too, and he got in a comfort zone against us. He was picking us apart with the underneath stuff.
Marcus Mariota. I mean, do we have to go on?
But this is the one that irked me the most because we said this on the You can pull the tape. We said, watch us make Marcus Mariota look good. We made him look like Staubach, and then the next week they absolutely stink it up at home against Buffalo.
Yeah. No, I do think Deshaun Watson is probably the most talented quarterback out of all those guys we saw. Philly. Listen, we hurt Philly. I mean, half his receiving core went on the field.
Yeah, but then again, we said this earlier. You know, I know ifs and buts, but you know, if Aguilar holds on to that pass,
right,
we might be up against it. They might, you know, have been up 4-1, and we'd be 0-5.
Yeah, but as far as the quarterbacks we're going to see moving forward, and this is the point we're getting to, why it's a must win, and that's obvious. Rams, they're not reeling, but they are in a situation where they're seeing Seattle right now and the 49ers atop of that division, and they're trying to go, wait a minute, we're going to see Seattle with Russell Wilson. We're going to see Drew Brees back, guys. And believe it or not, I would have laughed if you told me this at the beginning of the season. Well, you guys might see Carolina, and they'll be without Cam, but they'll be on a 4 or 5 game win streak.
Yeah,
because that's kind of what's happening.
Because you know Cam can't throw the ball, and Kyle Allen can do exactly what Norv Turner's asking him. And a lot of that involves him just giving the ball to Christian McCaffrey. But I'm with you. All the work that Dan Quinn put into this defense, which got so sideways this last week, was because of all the guys you just mentioned. All these mobile quarterbacks, RPOs, and we've lost our defense. Whatever personality we had defensively, we don't know what it is. We have no identity right now, other than bad.
No. I mean, it's crazy because I wanted to be what he preaches about fast and physical, and it looked that way against Philly. But that's the only sample we've seen of what it potentially could look like. And then it's been a debacle. Let's be honest. Indy did what they wanted. Tennessee did what they wanted. The Houston game was a joke.
So, if you believe, now, the one thing is, I just think we're going to go out there, and I think this, here's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping. Hope that Camp Quinn out there in Arizona, Carl. Hello, Mutta.
Hello, Fada.
Here we are at Camp, what? Anyway, I don't know what the t-shirts look like, but maybe this.
That's a good song.
This bonding experience. Camp is very entertaining. They say we'll have some fun when Tack stops complaining. No, we need this team to start getting their stuff together. Where's your pride, Willie? Maybe, you know, that's what you should show. Show 5 minutes of Al Pacino from any given Sunday. Where's your pride, Falcons? You know, you're going to get me fired. I went out on the limb for a guy like Vic. What are you going to do, guys? This defense is what needs fixing. I'm sure the Falcons offense will be able to score against Arizona. That's not the problem here.
Got to get stops. And we're terrible at getting off the field right now on third down. We're giving up 30 points plus a game. I mean, if you're Arizona, you know what you're hoping? Let's just keep it close and see where this thing goes in the fourth quarter. I mean, seriously, Arizona's like, I'll take 32-28 hitting in the fourth quarter or late in the fourth quarter. Because that's right now, that's what they're hoping for.
I think I heard that they took him canoeing on Lake Havasu.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are trying to laugh and get over this loss. Boy, it hurt yesterday.
Brother, it all started when the franchise, the team said, we're basically going to take away something that's part of our heritage because one guy, says it objects with his heritage. So we were soft from the jump and then soft when the game got going and soft when it was over.
If you don't know what we're talking about, stay there. It's part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day next.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys, we know the Braves and this loss is devastating. All right, listen, we're going to try to analyze this and break this down in a different way, all right? It is Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This whole thing about curses.
Earlier on Dukes and Bell.
But this whole notion, okay, of the unexplained and why our city continues to have our teams lose in these big game situations, these big moments, Mike Bell, it is not, I repeat, it is not a curse.
No, it's not a curse, guys. I mean, why did we lose the Super Bowl? Because the head coach and the offensive coordinator lost situational awareness of the big picture. Why did we lose this series? Because Freddie Freeman and Josh Donaldson got culled at the wrong time. The manager, you could argue, maybe got too cute in game one. You know, I mean, and you want to call the Chris Martin injury a curse? I've never seen anything like it. It's hard to get your head around it, but that kind of threw Snicker for a loop, and that's where things unraveled in game one. But you are where you are because your team wasn't clutch. You left guys on base. That's why you lost this series, period.
All right. I want you to answer this question for me. Matter of fact, I want you to answer these series of questions, okay? If you're driving around the ATL today and you're like, oh, man, I just don't get it. It's our city. Because Mike and I continue to hear this crap, okay? What he just said is facts. Hashtag, want to say it with me? Hashtag facts. Answer this for me. Where's Jimmy Hoffa's body?
Right, I mean, there's a few theories about it. I'll say North Jersey, but we don't know. Could be just in a field in Michigan somewhere.
We don't know. How do they score 10 runs in the first inning? It's never happened. Baseball playoffs have been happening 135 years. It happened for the first time yesterday. How do you explain it? Let me ask you another question. Who killed JFK?
Well, that was Oswald. He acted alone. The Warren Commission, they got the sequence of the bullets wrong. The sequence are wrong, Carl.
Mike, I think the Umbrella Man had something to do with it.
You stop that.
We don't know. We think we do. You know what we know? Folty was charged with 7 runs yesterday. You know what his ERA was the previous 8 starts? 1.48. How do you explain that? How do you explain us being 0-4 in game 5s in the NLDS, all in our city, all have happened here? The 3 previous losses came at Turner Field. How do you explain it? Let me ask you this, Mike Bell. Is there really a money pit on Oak Island?
Well, they've been. You know what? That's amazing those guys have been able to grind out 5 seasons of that, to be quite honest with you, because they haven't found Jack.
Because there isn't. That's why. Sometimes the explained is the unexplained. And we all want to make excuses for things that are out there that happen to our teams and are unfortunate things. And we all go, well, there has to be a reason. There is no curse. 500 ships and planes have gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle. Why?
Well, I believe there's a magnetic situation down there, Carl. There's something to do with there's something there.
The unexplained. And sometimes the unexplained is what happens. Yesterday at SunTrust Ballpark, it was unexplainable.
I mean, I can take a stab at it. We had one great outing from Folty, and that's what all he was really capable of giving you. I don't know. The umpires were squeezing him. These guys were first pitch swinging. You know,
it's the same guy that gave you 8 scoreless innings and 3 hit ball against the Giants to clinch the division.
The ball's over the plate. The Cardinals putting bat on the ball, man. The Cardinals stepped up. You know, especially when Fried came in, they were first pitch swinging on everything. You know, and they were just teeing off on it. You know, I just thought, look, Foltynewicz, whether it was the strike zone and that got him a little jacked up, I'm not sure. He was great in game 2, and then once things start to cascade and once things start to snowball, Carl, I don't know if the moment got too big. Either way, it was certainly too big for everyone else because nobody could do anything. If the Braves had scored 2 or 3 runs in the bottom of the first, as you and I were saying as it happened, then maybe, okay, all right, we still got a shot. We can chip away at this. But they couldn't, and then it was just forget it. They were walking around like zombies the rest of the game.
What we saw yesterday has never happened. And my point is things sometimes in our world are unexplained. What happened to Malaysian Flight 370?
Well, the pilot, I can tell. I mean, I watch a lot of Smithsonian. I'm not sure. I know where you're going with this, but I've seen some theories on this.
Yeah, theories, and that's the point.
Well, the wing did lie. They found parts of the plane
in Africa.
They've
never found it, Mike. They never found it.
They found parts of the plane in Africa.
They've never found it. What happened? Unexplained.
No, the pilot's a jet blank, and he took it. He took everybody down.
Unexplained. That's the point. So as much as we are upset, and we are, and as much as we're going to go in on this team and some of the guys who didn't show up, and we are, the reality is sometimes this is what it is. It's unexplained. 404-741-0929. That is the thing that I want to clear up. This whole thing, we're carrying this thing over our heads in Atlanta like there's some damn curse for all of our teams. There isn't. Mike said it. Our teams, whether they're mismanaged, the ownership, you could go down the list of things over the last 30 years of why our teams have failed.
Look, I mean, we saw it with the Dodgers. You know, Dave Roberts, he screws the pooch with Clayton Kershaw. Banking on the brand of Clayton Kershaw at this stage, thinking he could get it done when he had every lefty-righty matchup he needed to get done with the Nationals. But he blew it. And Kershaw, by the way, for all the Cy Youngs and things he's accomplished, he's now more known for his failures than his successes. You know, why did Bobby Cox and the Braves come up short all those times? Because Greg Maddux, for all the things he accomplished, was not a great postseason pitcher. 3 games under 500. When you're nibbling, on the black of the plate, you need a guy throwing some smoke. You need John Smoltz. You need a guy to finish. You know, Glavine had that earlier in his career. That's why they were able to get the win in 95. But the Braves had all these different lineups. Bobby Cox got too cute. And because Schuerholz looked at Bobby Cox like a sacred cow, they would never, ever, ever try another approach and bring someone from outside the organization to manage the team. And that's why the Braves have only won World Series with all those pennants. The Falcons in 98, they certainly overexceeded expectations. I don't know if we're going to beat the Broncos. Eugene Robinson and his antics, the Broncos are just a better team. We were just a very clutch team to beat the Vikings. But getting back to 2016, you just laid it out. We talked about it. Coaches lost sight of the big picture with the game on the line, and that's why we lost to the Patriots.
All right, man, find us on social media, guys, across all social media platforms, 929 The Game. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, of course, Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. Now that that's out the way, by the way, why Stonehenge there? Now that that's out the way, okay?
That's the Druids, man.
Yeah, right.
What, you really don't believe all this? No. You can finish all this? Oh, come on. You know, I got
no.
Gonna get
no.
You some TV stuff to watch.
No, I don't, because it's all unexplained. It's why we're still talking about it. It took 30 million hours, according to scientists, to build Stonehenge. Why is it there? Anyways.
No, the Druids, they just, it was things with the stars and stuff. And they helped, you know.
Here's the issue that I'm dealing with today with our Braves. I know a lot of people are not going to like it. Mike, some people may resent the fact of where we're about to go. But I don't get it, and it's got to be said. And that is, our best hitter was absent this series. And Freddie took on ownership, and he said it after the game. But, guys, when your best hitter goes 4 for 20 and hits 200 in a series that could get you potentially to the NLCS, it is totally on him. The other guys around him, Markakis and Donaldson, didn't play well either. And, Mike, you said it. We can get into Snicker and whether they should fire him or move on, which to me is ridiculous. In the biggest moments of this series, our best hitters failed us.
Right. 3, 4, 5. We talked about it all day yesterday up at Murph's. You know, the guys were not good. And Donaldson, if you watch these guys and you look at the game logs, watch the average. Watch their plate appearances through September. Now, would we be in better equipped if we had to go down to the wire with the Nationals? We said this, and, you know, Dale Murphy said this on our show. The Cardinals are having to go wire to wire to win this thing. They got to basically beat out the Brewers. They were hot. The team which presented some matchup issues. Nationals are hot right now, despite the fact that, you know, that they didn't win the division. They're peaking. They got a lot, and they're doing this all this without Bryce Harper. But you're right. Freddie, and he owned it. And then the base runner partially shields him. He makes an error that should have been a double play ball, would have gotten out of the inning with minimal damage. But when things are going bad at the plate, I'm not saying that it got in Freddie's head, but he was just a play that Freddie makes 99 times out of 100. He's going to at least get the guy at second base, maybe turn two.
All right, so that is issue one. Issue two is the guy we went and got also failed us. You started Dallas Keuchel twice in this series, Mike. He didn't give you what he should have given you.
No gritty performances. That's why you and I went round and round about it. I still like the idea of going with Soroka and Fried, and then, or you know, even go Faulty if you want to go to the second option. But I wanted to see our 17-game winner get more than that work out of the bullpen, which he was really good at up until yesterday. But I just don't like the I don't like the way Snicker handled the pitching. But at the end of the day, Carl, you should have won game one, and then you should have finished the series off in St. Louis, but you left too many guys on base. You get the bases loaded twice. Who does that and can't score a run?
In game four. So what's got your goat today? What's got your goat? 404-741-0929, because I want to know where you're at. And maybe you don't agree with Mike and I, and maybe you're completely somewhere else. Mike, what's got your goat?
Well, the other thing is, and this, again, in the big picture, this is something which I don't know if it translates to the woke generation of millennials who don't want to see anybody get hurt. But when we went round and round, Carl, for two seasons now about the Marlins plunking Ronald Acuna, we said you've got to protect Acuna. You got to come right back, and if it means a guy gets ejected, so be it. Sacrifice in the short term for sending the message. The Cardinals, if you didn't see the post game with Schilt in the clubhouse, Acuna got under their skin, and they plunked this guy because Flaherty feels he's got impunity with a 12-run lead, which he pretty much does, and there's no payback. Whether that was a decision we felt we looked like sore losers because you're getting humiliated on national television, I don't get it. But when Acuna does his thing, and he's not going to change, we don't want him to change. There's dozens of guys in the bigs, Latin players, black players, white players, that have swag. And the Cardinals have Yadier Molina. He did a throat slash, okay, in game four. And certainly Carlos Martinez has got his own little bag of tricks. So when you get your star player plunked, and they do that with impunity, I'm just mad that Snicker and his team has no balls. It's soft as the Braves acquiescing to the needs of one woke Cherokee American who has a problem with the tomahawk chops. We've got tomahawks on the freaking jerseys, okay? The team was soft before the game was even freaking played.
I told you guys months ago to hit these guys. I told you it mattered. You guys told me millennials didn't care about that stuff now, that this is not what you should do in baseball. True. I am ticked off that they didn't do anything like yesterday. You know what? We were going to lose the game. So freaking what? Acuna and Albies and Dansby and Fried and Soroka. All these guys are the base of our club right now. They're going to be around. Have some balls. I mean, that was, to me, that was just rubbing it in. So when you guys come to me and say, oh, well, people shouldn't play that way anymore, bull crap.
Well, here's what the Cardinals just think about that, pal. And if you didn't see the postgame speech from their skipper, Braves started this blank and we finished this blank. There's more to it, guys, than stats in a box score, okay? It's still a game played with emotion. And sometimes you got to cover your guys' back, which they don't do.
We'll play their manager's comments in the clubhouse after they won yesterday, just so you can get a sense of what we're talking about. Mike Conti's next. It's Dukes and Bell.
Busy.
Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
We will let you hear what the Cards manager had to say in the clubhouse after defeating our Braves. Coming up right before 6 o'clock, less than 15 minutes from now. Stay right there. Top 3 at 6 is on the way as well. Mike Conti's in studio for In Case You Missed It. What's going on, Mike?
You guys see how the Dodgers fans reacted to Clayton Kershaw last night having that rough eighth inning?
I guess
a lot of them went out in the parking lot and they disrobed. They were wearing Clayton Kershaw jerseys and they threw them on the pavement and started running them over.
Oh.
Not joking. I guess they didn't have lighter fluid or natural.
We talked about it, Mike. I know you're a huge baseball fan. I mean, the guy's rep has now become more for failure in postseason than Cy Young's in success. He just does not bring home the bacon, and Dave Roberts really leaned on it. Didn't have it.
Probably true. Yeah. It's amazing to me, and I know you'll talk more about it next era. The NLCS is Washington, St. Louis.
It's crazy.
And this is
who are you pulling for?
A meteor.
That's my line.
Seriously, I mean, the Nationals, you know how I feel about them. And the Cardinals are you'll get into it. I don't want to spoil the next segment. But that's the most insufferable team I think I've ever seen one of the teams that I'm interested in have to play in the postseason. I mean, just insufferable. But, you know, they played the game the right way. So.
Yeah, right. Well, we hear that all the time, right?
Yeah.
Real quick, we've not asked you about this. I mean, first time, actually, we've gotten a chance to talk with you about it since yesterday. Where were you at when you saw the score?
I was in the media room at the Hawks game. And, I mean, at 5 o'clock, someone in the media room said, let's put the Braves game on. And, you know, I looked at my phone. I think I was getting an email or something. I looked up, it was 4-0. I was like, what's going on here? They had it on the big Jumbotron or whatever they
call
it.
In the arena?
In the arena.
Okay.
And they had to take it down. They had to take it down after it got to like 10-0.
Yeah.
So. Braves fans started jumping off the stands like that movie. What's that, The Happening, Mike? The one with Night Shyamalan and Ding Dong movie?
I mean, can you imagine at 5 o'clock at the Cobb Cloverleaf is not the easiest traffic to navigate. Can you imagine not even parking and it's like 8-0, 10-0
already?
That's
exactly what happened.
Man, if you spent the money on the tickets.
You didn't even get your first beer. Yeah. Yesterday.
No, I'm walking back to my car. We left Murph's. I had standing room only tickets. My plan was to just go in there after we got off the air. And people walking back, like I said, like zombies, coming back on the pedestrian bridge, back over to the Galleria.
Yeah, it's – I really think it's one of the darkest moments in the history of that franchise. I really, really do. And that's saying a lot because they've had a lot of really good moments. Right. And you know –
So this trumps Leyritz. And that's the whole –
10 runs in deciding fifth game in the first inning.
It is, Mike Conti. I agree with you.
I think so.
Because it never happened.
Right. Ever. In baseball.
So when you talk about it from a historical standpoint, there is no comparison.
Yeah.
We've seen big hits from guys and no-name guys come up big in baseball all the time. This ain't never happened.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. It's tough. Okay, they played that game in China today. The Nets and the Lakers. Kyrie Irving, I guess, got smacked on the face. There was a concern about that. But they played the game, but it was really, really bizarre. They had sponsor logos over the floor that they had to sand off at the last minute because the Chinese government wouldn't allow it. They ripped down all these banners in Shanghai.
They're bullying. This is a Special Olympics fundraiser, that one game, which I couldn't believe I saw that. Then that was canceled.
Anyhow.
Are you going to get censored by Red China, too?
No. Listen, my opinion has been well stated on this, I don't need to go back into it. But, you know, Adam Silver did go over to Shanghai to try to smooth things over. Dennis Rodman now is speaking up. You know, he's got relationships with communists.
Right.
You know, he's friends with Kim Jong-un.
That's true.
The North Korean dictator. And Dennis Rodman posted a video on Twitter. I guess this came out yesterday, but it's going viral today. He said that he wants the NBA to put him on a plane, get him over to China. He says, Commissioner Adam Silver, I know a thing or two about diplomacy. Book me a ticket to Shanghai with you. I am with you, Ambassador Rodman. He has a relationship.
He has pull. True. He's got pull. Would you say that? He's got pull?
No. Not in China.
Not to that level.
Not in China. All right. I don't think. Maybe in North Korea. Yeah.
China is North Korea times 150.
Yeah. Okay. No, North Korea is...
Yeah, China
times 150.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, okay. It's bigger buildings, nicer cars, but still, again, it's you know what it is.
Okay.
They're just awful people. Back to you, Mike.
You guys, I would say you have adventurous palates, right? You want to be adventurous?
Yeah.
To a certain point now.
Okay.
All right. I'm curious to see where you're going with
what
this.
What you got? What you got for us?
Well, in Ecuador, I guess the big dessert treat of the fall that's taking the nation by storm. It's not just in Ecuador, by the way. It's in Colombia and Peru and Bolivia as well. Ice cream flavored as guinea pigs.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Really?
Say that again, please.
Guinea pigs. Okay, now...
bacon, Carl. Bacon, just smaller.
No, not like bacon.
Sorry.
Like the actual guinea pig.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's a delicacy in some Central American and Latin American countries. Ugh. And, you know, kind of like here in America, there was a big trend about turning avocados into gelato a little while, a decade ago. This is the thing that's going on down there right now. A lot of street vendors, ice cream vendors, are selling ice cream flavored as though it is guinea pigs.
Okay.
It is a dollar a cone. And this one lady, Marlene Franco of Kyoto, is also selling ice cream flavored with beetles. That is also a delicacy down there. The beetles are, you know, like a salty snack.
Yeah. Right.
Like the crickets, for example.
Right. You know, and other insects, fermented beetle juice, Carl, in Hungary is called Unicom. It's a shot. It's like a Jaeger meets Ouzo. It's tough. It's tough to put down.
Ouzo is very difficult to drink. Jaeger is very difficult to drink. So combining the two, yes. I can't imagine. So I guess she makes the guinea pig ice cream by cooking and preparing a pate of guinea pig.
Okay.
And then adding milk or cream to it and then freezing it until it gets to the consistency of ice cream. She says it tastes like chicken.
But I mean,
okay, no, I don't want it.
No, guinea pig, come on, don't knock it till you try it.
No, I don't.
You ever had a suckling pig?
I don't want.
Same thing, just smaller.
It is not.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Don't think about Charlotte's Web. Just go for the flavor.
It's too late.
Well, guinea pigs are a little bit different than pigs, though. Like, you're talking about Wilbur.
Yeah, he's talking about like a baby pig.
Like some pig.
Yeah.
No,
guinea pigs are small.
Nice.
Yeah, guinea pigs are a little different. A little more to the rodent side.
Yeah, they're not as flavorful.
You don't know. How would you know? You never eat one.
Because it's a guinea pig.
It probably tastes like pig meets duck.
Ugh.
I'm all for it.
If you're wondering, by the way, the beetle ice cream is actually also flavored with pineapple and passion fruit. So it's not just beetle. You get the sweet and the salty down there. They also are selling desserts made with ants, cicadas, and worms, but it's okay because it's infused with chocolate.
Okay.
So it kind of covers the
taste. Well, chocolate makes everything better.
People do eat crickets. Remember Steve Coonan dropped those cricket chips on us one time?
I had them in my mouth until he goes, you know what those are, right?
What? You're eating crickets. Back to you, Mike Cotty.
This lady in particular that the AP focused in on down in Kyoto, Ecuador, is going to start selling crab ice cream, chicken ice cream, and pork ice cream. Because the guinea pig ice cream is selling like...
Where are you guys on this, though, with the whole flavor thing? We've talked about it with potato chips. They've done it with popcorn.
Right. They can do anything. They can create any flavor now.
Yeah. It's like Willy Wonka. Are you for this, or has it gone too far?
I don't like mixing my sweets and savories. I know that's sacrilege to foodies out there.
Sea salt ice cream with caramel you don't like? You got a pretend?
Sea salt caramel?
Yes. Right.
Sea salt caramel.
Right.
Sea salt ice cream, no.
Okay.
I know that's what's the difference, right?
Right.
Personal preference, I guess. So I don't like mixing my sweet and salties. I would have a trouble with that. Plus, guinea pigs. Can't eat a guinea pig.
Hey, by the way, according to Chris Kilroy, Mike is a big listener and Twitter contributor. He says guinea pig koi, C-U-Y, is a big delicacy in the Andes, as Mike pointed out. He said, basically for a big family dinner or special occasion, you have koi. Not unlike turkey. It's pretty good, to be honest. Tastes like a little gamey chicken.
No, gamey. You had me. You lost me at gamey.
I'll take Chris's word for it.
Chris, thanks for the comment.
Bring me one on a stick. I'll eat it.
That's good stuff. Mike Conti, in case you missed it, guys. All right, what did the Cards manager have to say that is insulting and tells you exactly where their heads were? You'll hear it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.